David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have Audra and Matt here. And Audra and Matt are the owners of Carmen's Little Leaders, and they have an amazing topic to talk about. So just so everyone knows that they have their own podcast on our series. On The Advisor, we have a podcast community, and each of our people in our podcast community have their own podcast series. So you'll be able to look at all their different videos if you go on and hear about the amazing things that they talk about. And today, Audra and Matt want to talk about topic of forgetfulness and how to improve your forgetfulness and improve children's forgetfulness and help them retain their information better and help them to grow. So when they become young adults and they grow into their adulthood, they have different techniques that actually can help them remember things. And I think we all could use that, including myself, because as I get older, the more forgetful I become. So yeah, and so this is a great topic to talk about. So Audra and Matt, take it away.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for allowing us on your show. It's exciting and we really love what you do. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we have four adult children, and really this topic came to mind when our 24-year-old daughter was looking to study to take a real estate test to become a real estate agent. And she said, you know, Dad, what do I have to do to study to learn all this information? Because that book was so at least a couple inches thick, and it really hit me hard. And I thought, you know what? I don't know how to help her. I don't know what to say, actually.
Speaking of which, Matt always likes to have the answers for anybody, but especially for his kids when they ask something. So he was really like, huh. Because you did naturally well at school and different things. He's smart. He remembers a lot of stuff, but our daughter Brooke was preparing for this, and it's, as anybody knows who's taken a real estate, there's a lot of condensed information and you just have to regurgitate it
in a short period of time and quickly, and it has to be accurate or you don't pass, and that's a problem.
Right. Yeah.
So so I started to research what that might look like, and we found that there's a gentleman that started back in 1885, and he actually did a study that showed when you learn something in a session, let's say it's whatever 20-minute hour set or whatever it might be, at the end of that session, that's when you've learned all you're going to learn. Well, I guess there's no real revelation there if you think about it, but you know, it's true. And then the big thing was he started to share and look at what can we do to increase that retention rate? Because on its own, I guess within 24 hours, according to his study, you lose about 50% or some people lose up to 70% of the information that was taught. And so it just quickly declines. And with those declining, if you're needing it for a job, you know, if you need it for your career and other important events, then it could be a problem for us, you know. And some people naturally, I think, do it better than others. But what the big thing that he talked about is that, and really none of it's a revelation, but he just talks about memories weaken over time. And of course, the biggest drop in that retention happens in that first 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And if you help equate those things to meaningful events, then you can do a little better job generally. But if it's trivia, and there really is no direct link to something important, you'll lose that even quicker, so to speak, according to what he was saying. And so, and when you look at how fast that knowledge drops off, it's kind of disappointing in a way, you know,
It makes it hard. It makes it hard for kids in school. It makes it hard, you know, for us as adults trying to, you know, I mean, you make the effort to learn it. Yeah. And if there's a strategy, I think that we can just share that, because it was new to us and we're in our 50s, you know, but if there's a strategy that can help improve something that we all need and could benefit from, my goodness, let's, you know, let more people know about it. So,
yeah. And one, you know, clearly college is one of the areas where we need to retain that information we've learned.
Yeah.
You get a flood of information. It's many times what you learn, the rate of learning than in high school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a big thing. And so we just thought we'd like to share with you what he came up with in 1885, if you will. Now, the good thing was those studies were all recreated in 1995 and they mirrored his results. So, wow. We really haven't changed that much, evidently, as humans in our brains since then to now, evidently. Mm-hmm. And so, Audra, do you want to share what he found in to increase the retention?
Yeah. So what they basically kind of broke it down to say is if you have a learning session, that's where you start. So whether that's an hour session or a half a day, that's your session one. And that's where you're gathering that information and learning it for the first time. And so to improve our odds of recollection and using that knowledge, they say on day two, after you've learned it, skip on day two, if you take 10 minutes, only 10 minutes to review, assuming you understood the content on day one.
Right.
On day two, if you take 10 minutes to just kind of casually review it and make the effort to be intentional in that time, then you're starting to recollect and keep it fresh. And then if you move to day seven and you take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes on day seven, practice, review, take a look at it, then you're good to go. And then if you go at day 30 and you take 2 to 4 minutes to recap what you've learned, then you can almost guarantee 100% recollection. Mind blowing to me, I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's huge and it's a powerful tool for anybody who has information you need to remember.
And it after I started researching it a little bit more, there are other people that have come up with different retention methods that say theirs are superior, right? So instead of day 2, 7, and 30, as he outlined in 1885, some now say day 3, day 5, and day 7, right? So they give a little different regiment and they claim that there's been testing done, you know, to maybe improve those results.
Yeah.
But they call it time phased learning or spaced learning, so that to increase that retention. So the commonality between all the research that we've been able to read since is try to find what works for you in your situation, in your brain, so to speak, and embrace that. And now you'll have something. Now, if you have to learn a concept for whatever it might be, or different ongoing materials, that's how you a good way to approach it.
I don't think there's anybody that can argue with time phased, other than if we had a brain dump, you know, we're not at that point. But you know, when I used to work, when we teach the leadership classes, it was time phased, always had a better outcome for the participants than doing it, because we did like you could do it in 3 days and you get all this for 8 hours you're in class and you're learning it, or you could do the time phase, which was once a week for, you know, 8 weeks. And the outcomes were remarkable because a lot of the onus wasn't put back on the participant, right?
Right.
It was the way the structure was set up. And so it made it much more easy is not what I want to say, but it was easier and more palatable for people to retain and gather. And it was just the nature of how the information was given. So I thought that was fascinating.
I just remember back when our daughter, now that's 24, that we referenced earlier, when she was in school, just like her older brothers, we talked about spelling words.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, to me, I always told my children, I believe you should get 100% every spelling test because it's an open book test.
Right.
The teacher tells you what they're going to test you on. You just have to be ready approximately a week later, generally, to have those going and nail that. School knew how important reading and comprehension was, right, for our ability to absorb and retain that knowledge. And so with them, when she was younger, and what I had them do, when they got their spelling words, if it was that Friday, before the Friday they were tested,
yeah,
they had to write each spelling word for us 10 times every night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the unusual part was every one of my children, I learned, was that even though they did that the first time, none of them ever got 100% on that first test.
Wow.
They really had to learn how to learn, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
And so it was it took some time, you know. And I remember with my daughter Brooke,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
It took her about 3 times where she had to write them 10 times each week. So about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you could tell it kicked in.
Right.
She was like, okay, I got this. Now I've learned that skill that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
And I can do it. You know, and then of course they'd say, Dad, I don't want to write my words, you know, and I'd say, okay, if you have it and you're getting 100% on Wednesday,
right,
then you don't have to write them the rest of the time. Right. And then Tuesday and then Monday, and then they'd get their words on Friday. They'd study them hard Saturday and Sunday. And then I test them Monday. So they were ready for Friday. Right.
Because
it's just a practice. And I think a lot of parents implement that strategy. I don't know. Did you do that with your kids?
I'm trying to remember back what we did with the spelling words, but we did practice them together. I used to have these electronic letters that they could like put together, and it would. So I remember when they first started kindergarten and first grade, I would have those magnets on the refrigerator that you know, said the sounds and sang to you, and you know, and then A is for apple, and apple means you know. And,
Remember those. What fun, right? Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. And then I would have the kids practice their spelling words, you know. I would, you know, I think verbally I would, you know, say the word, and then they would have to like write it down on paper and stuff like that. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The repetition, I think, is really key. And I'm hoping lots of parents out there are still doing it. I'm not, you know, I don't know, but.
Right. I think the key is when the children are younger, they have to learn how to learn. If that makes sense. Right. You need to understand how you comprehend and how you retain.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost like a physical muscle. If you're going to lift weights, right, you have to lift the same thing with your brain,
right,
and retention, right? Yeah. And that's why I know a lot of the older people use crossword puzzles to keep their mind active, right?
Sudoku,
and right, and those type of tools, right, just to keep that flexibility there. But when, you know, when our children are trying to excel and we see them struggling and they need some tools, we really think that this is a tool that's reasonable that they can use. It doesn't cost any money.
Right.
It just takes effort, right?
And time. And such a minuscule amount of time, right? So it's not like a lot, but the results, if you can improve it by 100%, well, why not try it, right?
Right.
It's just being that disciplined just a little bit to put in the effort.
Well, and I know like our first child, his goal was to go to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go to Ohio State, you know, we wanted him to get as high a grades as he could get to get some scholarships.
Yeah.
We wanted any money that was available out there. And he really worked hard in school, and he was a smart boy. And so he had a great ethic in that. And he, I have to say, found how to retain information on his own.
Right.
I didn't know those things to help him with. And he did it by himself, Right. So we were really fortunate in that way. But because he did it, I feel like I really never figured it out for the rest of my children.
Right.
It wasn't a need that identified itself that dad needed to step into. Right.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like they would all figure it out themselves. And now that I look back, I wish I would have known a way to help them, because it might have got them up that curve quicker,
right,
with better results. And so, you know, I think clearly the reading is so important for these children, and the comprehension, yeah, right? And so, you know,
but yeah, second to that, I think the reading and comprehension, but is the retention of all, yeah, of it, you know?
It is. But to me, you know, like when you watch somebody that's struggling to read, they're not comprehending anything that they're saying, right? Or reading. They're working so hard to read the words that their retention is not even an issue, because they haven't got to that level yet. Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we're just assuming that they learn it first. Like they said, if you've been capable of retaining it and you learned it, then you can make this work. Yeah. If you don't know it to begin at session one, then yeah, you got to go back and put a little more effort in.
Right. Exactly. It's just the, you know, it seems like in the college level, they do teach you, but only a certain percentage, right?
Right.
You're left to on your own for every hour of class time. They want you to spend, let's say, an hour outside of class reading.
Right.
And so to be successful at those highest levels, you have to be able to read it and comprehend it and retain it and then apply it, right?
You know, I feel like that's an important thing that we should not put on our school systems, but I think it's an important thing. Why aren't the schools teaching that? You know what I mean? But just like we've learned, they don't teach you how to balance a checkbook often. They don't teach some of that natural stuff, and that falls on the parents. So I guess every little bit we can do to help, you know, and in college, I know they have a college readiness class or something all freshmen have to take. Did your kids need to take something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it kind of helps prepare you, but I don't know that it teaches studying. And I think that's a critical component, because there's many reasons kids don't make it through school. But struggling academically could certainly be one of them.
Another topic, when our oldest started, was looking at going to college, in between their senior year and that first year at Ohio State, I offered to buy him a speed reading class, right? Mm-hmm. I really felt that that would be something valuable to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, hey, I'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. Go ahead. And you know, I have to tell you though, guess what? I got zero buy-in.
What do they say? If it's not your idea, yeah, usually it's hard to sell. So yeah.
And so he never did, and he made it through, and he did great. Don't get me wrong. You know, it just, I really feel that if you're going to set someone up for a career, then try to give them tools to be successful. And especially in college, if not all children, not all of our kids went to college, right? Some went to trade schools.
Right.
And I really think that's great for some children. Not mm-hmm. everyone's made to go to college.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. That's wonderful. Do what you excel at and enjoy. And you can stay then doing that for a longer period of time. But if you have a child that's going to go to college, not only is the retention important, but then I do think the next level is the speed reading.
Yeah.
Get them some help, because the difference, most of the kids that I knew, and including myself, I was not prepared for the rate of information that was disseminated to me that first year in college.
Right.
I was not prepared for it. And neither of my parents went to college.
Right.
So they couldn't warn me. They couldn't advise me or tell me.
Yeah. I think nowadays, for younger generations, I think they're seeing more college prep efforts.
Yeah.
Especially depending on the school, the high school you go to or something, right? They do a better job of preparing the kids. Like, you know, Matt was from a small town. So yeah, when you go to college, it's a whole different, you know, learning efforts are different. And that's something that we, you know, packaged into what we were thinking when we worked with the kids too. It's
right,
you know, the learning pyramid talks about when you just, you know, if you just hear something, you retain 20%. When you actually, when you talk about it,
discuss it, it goes up to 50.
Goes up to 50. And then when you actually
practice it
and do it, you're at almost 70%.
Yeah.
And then what's that best one is when you can teach what you learn to somebody else.
That's 90. Right. Yeah. According to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating information to know. And then if you can put it into play, all the better with your family.
Well, and I think the big independent learning hit with COVID.
Yeah.
In a way, right? Because so many kids were now having to be taught at home.
Yeah.
Through Zoom. And parents were working.
Mm-hmm.
But their kids were at home on a computer trying struggling. To learn. Struggling.
a new way
to learn. And I really think it brought out a lot of those issues, that it's hard to not only learn it, but then how do you retain it?
Yeah.
And so that's...
another fascinating thing that we learned when we were researching this is that, you know, what impacts our memory, age, obviously. And that was something, you know, we all agree upon. But second to that, they say, you know, stress can impact it, and anxiety or things like that.
Right.
And then was interesting, which is kind of quirky, but is dehydration.
Yeah.
So if you're dehydrated, so I guess keep your bottle of water close by when you're trying to learn new stuff. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a lot of water, 60 or 70% ish or some number. I don't know the exact number.
It seemed like it should impact your brain, but I guess our brain is thrives on water. So that makes sense, I guess. But
it does. Right. No doubt. So, yeah. So that our goal today was just to really... bring up a topic that as young parents, when we were there, we never even considered.
Right.
And that not only there is a forgetful curve or forget curve, as they call it, but there is a method scientifically that is proven to help retention.
Yeah.
If you just use it.
Right. I think there's a lot of things to take into play too, is that everyone learns differently and that everybody has their different strengths and more
yes.
people. Some people are more inclined to learn numbers than they are inclined to learn comprehension. Some people have learning disabilities. Some people just yes. have different ways of retaining information. Some people, you know, they can draw on the sand or draw a picture and that will make them remember it better. Some people can do outlining and that makes them remember it better. Some people use colors to put down on paper, you know, and highlight specific, you know, subject matters in a certain color and then other subject matters in a certain color. And that makes them retain it also. So it there's a lot to play that when it comes to forgetfulness and retaining information, everyone retains information differently. So there has to be a different method for each individual person. And then even with COVID, I think that hurt our generation. I didn't think it helped our generation. I think, you know, a lot of kids, you know, for me, like I graduated high school in 3 years instead of four, and I skipped a grade. And I have to tell you, like I did two grades in 1 year, you know, I had to teach myself the one grade. And then I was in 11th grade and I had to teach myself 10th grade, you know, so it was, you know, but I have to say when I got to college, I felt more behind myself with reading and comprehension and writing because, you know, yes, I passed everything. I did everything on a high school level. But when I got to a college level, I don't think I was prepared. I think that maybe that one extra year might have done me good. You know, so, you know, yes, you could be at home and during COVID, but I don't think the kids are retaining the information or learning the information. And in a lot of school systems, especially school systems that have the money in their townships to put money into their school systems, they can pick out the children that don't retain information well, and they can figure out ways to help those children to retain information, or they could have assistants in the classrooms to help those kids. Whereas, you know,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
You know, when you do scientific when you look at scientific data, you know, are they putting them in separate trials? Are they putting the kids with disabilities in one trial? Are they putting the kids with, you know, specific, you know, that have a hard time with comprehension and reading, and maybe the other kids that are more mathematically inclined than they are, you know, because usually if they're good with numbers, they're not always so good with reading and comprehension and vice versa. And then right. You have kids that are just very creative, you know, mm-hmm. but they lack certain things, you know, and so there's so much to intake, you know, and, you know, I think it really matters on the child itself and what those child's needs are. You know, I think we all can improve our forgetfulness, but I think there's different methods for different people. Just like we all react differently to medications, I think we all react yes. differently when it comes to retaining information.
For sure.
But I think we need that practice, and we need to consistently, you know, work on our forgetfulness, because I think the more you retain information, the more you go over it, I definitely agree, you retain it, you don't forget it, you know. But if you make it interesting also to the child or the teenager, you know, or the college kid, they remember it better. Where if you have a professor or a teacher teaching it in a very mundane way and it seems very boring, I guarantee you those kids are going to walk out of there. Most of them aren't going to remember anything because mm-hmm. they're in their head daydreaming half the time. Mm-hmm. But if you have right. one of those fun teachers that has the different activities and has bubbliness in their voice, I think the presentation also matters also.
Oh, how, yeah.
You know, well really, you know.
It plays a part for sure. Yeah.
One of the points, great points that you brought up, our oldest son, he would take information that he wanted to learn and almost make a song out of it
mm-hmm.
himself.
Right.
And that song helped him remember.
Right.
And so that was his technique.
Yeah. We all remember better with music, right?
Definitely.
All the songs we all know in our heads because of the melody that's put to it.
Wouldn't it be nice if schools, in my mind, mm-hmm. when you're in second grade or third grade or fourth grade, had a class yeah. at school that helped you learn those techniques that would be good for you.
Right.
And Stacy, as you pointed out, everybody learns differently. They're going to retain differently. And what if that class allowed you to learn what worked best for you so that you would be more successful in the rest of your academic career?
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
If they had something like that. Yeah.
Made me laugh when you mentioned the highlighters when those first came out, and I'm still guilty of it today. You highlight everything.
I still do that to this day, even right? when I'm reading a book. And I took speed reading. I use it till today. Like I can whip through a 400 pages with, you know, in a couple of days with no problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, wow. I always use highlight. When I'm reading, I have to highlight. I have to bend pages. I have different making notes on the side, and that will make me retain it better. Where if I just read through it and then you asked me what the book was a couple of days later or a week later or a month later, you know, even though I read the book, I'm only going to remember certain segments of the book. Whereas mm-hmm. if I highlight it and make notes and then I go through the book, I'm like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, you know.
Right.
And so there, I think that you have to have certain techniques. I see a lot of kids use index cards, you know, and that's a great way of remembering things too. You know, they have like, now they have tablets for the kids, like these notebooks that Apple makes, and they can make notes and it remembers it and it will record it. And it's just like us making notes when we were a kid. Now they have it electronically. So there's so many different ways. And I still, to this day, I take consistent notes, and that's how I remember things. And I have like a pile of notes and I file everything. And that's how making notes and highlighting for me was a huge factor in remembering things. I think everybody has their own specific way.
Yeah. And I think there's actually been research done on that, because our kids tend to pick up their phone and put a note in the phone.
Yeah, that's big.
You know, and I didn't know they were doing that. I'm like, what are you doing on your phone? You know, and they're like, well, I'm writing down and taking a note. And I think they're still, I don't know that the research has been validated yet, but I think they talk about how we retain so much more when we actually write.
Yes.
As opposed to this digital, you know, because it's that actual brain to, you know, finger connection is not what I'm looking for, but you know, the dexterity right. of you actually doing it, helps our brain connect that. And,
right.
I know for me, if I took notes tech, like digitally, I'm not gonna, it's gone.
Right. Yeah. You know? I'm actually the same way. I write everything. Yeah. I have notebook yes. after notebook, notepad yeah. after notepad, you know, all yeah. over the place. And that's how I maintain things. And then once it's accomplished or I don't need it anymore, I'll get rid of it if I don't need it. But then, you know, I keep all those notes. So I remember, because otherwise I'm going to forget. I know mm-hmm. I will.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by that.
And did you say you took a speed reading class?
Yeah. I took a speed reading class.
When did you take that? And what made you take that?
I took it in college and it just seemed very intriguing in my first year of college. And they taught you how to go through books, you know, and go through material 1, 2, 3, and how to pick out the specific importance of each part that you're reading and how to remember it and how to just go through a large amount of material in a very short period of time, but grasp what words to focus on, what paragraphs to focus on, and what things to retain and to remember and highlight in and things like that was one of the things that they suggested. But certain ways that they teach you how to go through a large amount of content all at once and how to remember everything. And but there's specific words and phrases and things that you need to look for. And those are the important aspects of each part of the that context of material and how to focus on those things. So I could whip through a couple hundred pages very quickly and I will grasp the entire book, you know, when yeah. I finish it.
I dabbled with that because there was an online speed reading course back in the day when you had introduced it to the kids. And so I was kind of rolling through it. I didn't purchase it, but it was like a test or something, you know, to get started. And so it was so amazing. But what I did like to hear, because I'm like, I don't want to speed read everything, but then you can turn it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can just enjoy a novel or yes. something. And, but it was, yeah, I did not perfect it. I got busy with raising kids and that and such, but it is, it's, I would, I probably not, I, it's a great concept to learn.
Well, and I think, you know, I looked for some course like that in college. I never found one.
Right.
And it's so awesome that you see the benefits even today from yeah. that class. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I use the same techniques that I learned in that class because it was so beneficial that I kept repeating the things I learned because it was, you know, how do you read through 400 pages in 3 days, you know, or, you know,
yeah.
And so it's like, you know, those are the things they taught you and mm-hmm. how to go through large, you know, amount and specific words, specific, you know, paragraphs, specific things to focus on that you just catch your eye right away. You would, you know, and then put it all together and you'd be able to, in your brain, know exactly what those, that large amount of context means.
Wow. It feels like it's one of those things like when you first took your typing class. I don't know if you had a typing class and you're just like, you know, pecking away. And I liken that to this whole speed reading concept. You really have to practice it.
Yeah.
You know, to be efficient at it. But yeah, that is fascinating.
But see, that was so worthwhile to you.
Yeah.
The in time that you invested in there is a skill that you've retained.
Yeah.
And continue to use.
Yeah, exactly. To this day.
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's, I think it's tools like that, that if we can empower our children to help them, it will get them through quicker, better, yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know? And so I think that's all we are as parents.
Right.
We just want to help equip our kids with tools and skills to make them successful.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that I noticed in just other conversations, like in our family in particular, is we just always love learning new things. And surprisingly, you think everyone's like you, but everyone doesn't share that same, you know, they're like, you know, I believe I'm done with school. I don't want that. And right. our family is constantly wanting new things, you know, but not trendy, hip, cool new things, but just, you know, history and stuff like that. I think, it's, why not? Keep learning.
Yeah.
I just think it's been
intrigued with history. Go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think, you know, and maybe your children, you know, somebody listening to the podcast, maybe their children, you know, I have a nephew that arguably, if he's now a retina surgeon, mm-hmm. an eye surgeon, and he went through medical school without having to go to class.
Now it's online. You can do some online.
They would videotape all the classes.
Yeah.
So he would watch the class at two or three times the professor's speed of talking.
Right.
And he learned it. I mean, he can learn, but the thing is, he retains it.
Right.
And it's a gift. I think it's a gift from God, if you ask me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be able to do that to that level. You know, and, right. you know, we saw him at a Thanksgiving party, and he had a girlfriend with him at that time. And she was also in medical school with him.
Yeah. You know?
And I said, Lincoln, you know, how is medical school? Is it hard? He's like, no, it's not hard. The girl with him says, I don't know what he's talking about. I cry every other day. I can't keep up, you know, and that just goes to show you how different people are just being born.
Right.
You know?
I think people just retain things differently. Like, you know, like for some things, I think I need to be in a classroom with a professor speaking and be able to just really absorb what he's saying. And then I would, you know, and what I would do when I was in school is that when he was talking, I was writing nonstop. And then I would rewrite the notes as soon as I got home. And then I would outline everything the next day and in the textbooks. But you know, there are some things that, you know, my kids, he took a lot of online classes in college, and they, you know, my daughter and my son, you know, liked the online classes, you know, better than the being in the classroom. So I think it really matters on the personality, you know, of the person, because for me, I don't know if I can stare at a computer consistently and really absorb what they're saying without going off, you know, into another land, you know, and but when he's speaking in front of me, I'm focused and I'm listening, you know. So I think it just depends on the personality and level, you know, of IQ also. Some people just absorb things very quickly. Some people have great memories to begin with. Some people have to really struggle with it, you know. And so I think it really matters on the personality, because I think everybody is different, you know, but there are different techniques for different personalities. And it's really trying them out, I think, and mm-hmm. then figure out which one works the best for you.
Yeah, no, you said a lot there. Everybody learns differently. And I don't think there's anybody out there who doesn't know or believe that. But I guess if you can have as many resources available to you, then you can kind of pick and choose and understand what works best.
Well, at least if, you know, if a school taught several different methods or allowed you to, you know, as a child student, to try your idea or what you thought might work best for you, at least then that effort would be so worthwhile. Because just like you took the speed reading with you from there, these children, they have at least 12 years of schooling.
Right.
And so why not help them when they're in the beginning of that?
Yeah.
To retain easier and better.
Right.
They enjoy school much more.
Exactly.
Sure, the schools are like, come on, we're doing the best we can.
Well, you know what I think is a problem also when I got involved in the school systems is that you have areas that are low income that don't offer a lot of things. And then you have areas that have more money in the township that put more money into the school systems. So unfortunately, there are areas in the United States that the kids don't even have that opportunity. And then you go to other areas where they invest a lot of money into the school systems, and these children have extra type of classes. They have, you know, in between kindergarten, you know, first grade classes. They have, you know, teachers and assistants in the classrooms. They pull the kids out as soon as they notice that they have any type of speech impediment. abandonment, or they notice that the child is not comprehending something the way they should, they immediately pull them out into these side classes to give them lessons to get them on track and a par with all the other children, where you go to these low-income areas and they don't have hardly anything available to these children. So it's really unfair in a sense, because you know you do have you know, areas in the United States where kids are really getting good educations and they have the opportunity to make these choices, and then you have these low area incomes where they are not investing in the school systems, and these children are very limited of what they're getting, and you know they're falling behind. They're not learning and retaining. And so then either their self-esteem gets really bashed, or they just give up because they just, you know, it's a lot of kids get frustrated. They like their self-worth goes downhill, and it's like, why am I even doing this? I can't do this, you know, and they give up, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of things to take in. It really, you know, I think it's really unfair that a lot of these areas that don't have a lot of money, you know, these children, you know, are getting not the education that's equivalent to other areas. You know, these are the areas we should be focusing on, and we should be trying to do whatever we can to get them, you know, really established so they could have these type of classes, to move these children up so they could actually get the education they need, so they could have a fair chance of becoming, you know, whoever they want to become when they grow up.
Yeah,
we agree 100%. You know, we now live in Arizona. You know, we came from Ohio. And if we looked at the U.S. News and World Report's ranking of states when we moved here, Arizona was ranked, I think it was number 47 in education, generally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a horrible statistic. Who wants to be number 47?
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, when it came to income, Arizona was ranked 17th. Mm. So,
What are we doing?
Yeah, so what's going on? How do we, you know, now like New Mexico right next to us, they were ranked 49th in the U.S. News and World Report study.
Right.
But financially, they were ranked 49th as well.
Okay.
So that made more sense. They have limited.